Father, we thank you today that you are still God, that you are still on your throne, that your word has not changed, that you are still faithful, and that you will still use those who submit to you in order to make a difference in this dark world we live in. So, Lord, even today as we come again to your word, teach us again who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are light, and that you did not save us just for the purpose of rescuing us from eternal punishment. You want to use us right here, right now, for your purposes. And you want to use our lives to make a difference in those around us. Take now your word and use it today in our hearts. You are the one who can do it. And Lord, we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to, you know, make the notes and fill in the blanks and all of that, you'll find that insert in the bulletin there. And of course, you can always go on our webpage, sncc.org, and always look at those usually a day or two later, and they'll be posted there. Well, yes, it is graduate time again, and yes, I do usually address some types of words to our graduates and to the younger ones in general, but as always, God's word has application for every single one of us. So no matter where our station in life today, somebody said today is the first day of the rest of your life. So wherever we happen to be right now, the Lord may want to shake us a little bit, and he may want to use us in some ways that he hasn't used us before. And my prayer and my desire for all of our graduates and students, even that are still in school, is that the Lord would continue to work in your lives and that he would use you to be a light in the place where he has put you. And that is his purpose, you know. He talks a lot about that and about letting your light shine for him. And so today it's really all the same thing. Whether you're letting your light shine for him, you're making waves, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. But you see, waves are a generation of energy. Now, we live in an area where waves, we have a local TV station, Wavy TV 10. We won't charge for that free commercial. We have a local FM radio station called The Wave. And then down at the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center, from what I hear, have a wave-making machine. And they actually show you how waves are made and how waves are generated. But how many know that it is true that waves are energy? And if you've ever seen anybody doing those that surfboarding thing they do, you'll know that that is true. And then there's something called a riptide, and that also has a lot of energy to it. So whenever there's a storm offshore, they'll tell you, all of the swimmers and beachgoers, be careful, because those riptides are very, very powerful. So a wave is something that is powerful, but a wave is created by yet another source of energy. And as believers, we are energized, or should be, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are energized by the Holy Spirit. And you will read in the Old Testament where the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon and he blew the trumpet. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson and he did great things. Do you remember about Samson that when the Spirit of the Lord departed, he couldn't make any waves anymore? Because, see, his strength never did come from him. His strength came because he was moved on by the Spirit of the Lord. And so if you're going to make any real waves and make any real difference in the world, it's going to be by virtue of the Lord working on you and the Lord moving in your life. You're not going to be able to do that on your own. Now, to make a difference in the world right here and right now in some way, maybe because of your athletic ability or your intellectual ability or whatever, you might be able to do that. But you won't be able to make a difference for eternity the way we've been talking about here this morning, except by the Lord's power in your life and by Him working in your life. Now, many of you know, because I've referred to it many times, that my favorite songwriter was Stuart Hamblin. And he wrote a little snippet. It's not really a song, and I think it's less than 2 minutes long. I wish the air conditioner wasn't running, because it's really, really loud, and it's probably going to interfere with this a little bit. But hopefully we can get enough volume there. But I have asked our AV crew, would you play that, please?
You cannot control the length of your life, but you can the width and the height. And the place you attain in those quiet halls of fame, that position is yours to decide. And the trail that you blaze on life's rugged hill can be broad and easy to find. And the height that you reach inspire others to climb, those generations yet unborn to time. You cannot steal back from a day that is spent, idle words nor one single deed. They're posted at night on the billboards of time for others who follow to read. Nor can you dictate what history will write, be it mean or be it sublime. But what's written of you will have an effect on generations yet unborn to time. Did the world get a bargain the day you were born? Or has your life to others brought shame? Do you ponder the fact how the folk will react when descendants of yours speak your name? Will the ink of your life stand bold or fade out as history appraises the lines? Is there untarnished value in what you bequeath to those generations yet unborn to time?
So we have today, if we're going to make any waves, we need to make them today. There are a lot of people in the Bible that started making waves when they were still very young, and David is one of them. He made waves the day that he confronted that giant, that Goliath, that evil giant, when nobody else would. Not even the king of Israel would stand up to that bully. And yet David was willing to take him on. I was thinking a while ago of something that was said, of that little Israeli servant girl in the house of Naaman, and she made a wave. He was a leper. He was the general of the army in Syria, and she said, if my Lord would go to Samaria to the prophet, he could be healed of his leprosy. And because of that, she made a wave. And a man came to know the Lord, a man from another land, from a heathen land. And of course, we have many people who made waves, but again, it was God working in their lives. Noah made waves, no pun intended. When obedient to the Lord, when everybody else was going the other way, he stood firm for the Lord. Moses, of course, when the Lord sent him back the second time, he made a couple little ripples early in life in his own strength, and they quickly faded out, and he wound up in exile on the backside of a desert somewhere. But after God called him and sent him back, he made all kinds of waves. And those waves are still being felt today, because we still read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which are books that he wrote. And we could just go on and on about the people in the scripture. And then there are others that have made waves in other ways. Our forefathers right here in this country made waves and gained our independence. And how many know if they had not been willing to make waves, we would still be serving England? Just an example. And so, we have this life the Lord has given us. And we have dreams, we have ambitions, and of course, you know, we're all somewhat self-centered in some ways, and you know, my dreams, my ambitions, who I'm going to marry, what degree I'm going to get, where I'm going to work, and all of that. But the Lord has put us here in order to make a difference. And as believers especially, as stated earlier, he didn't save you and me just so that we could say, I'm on my way to heaven now instead of on my way to hell. He saved us so that we could be and become, as indeed we should be and must be, walking billboards for him this very hour. How many, I don't see them as much anymore, but how many have seen those trucks that all they do is just drive around town all day and they have these signs on them that change? How many have seen them? Anyway, it's just a roaming billboard. We are a walking billboard. Paul said we are open letters for everybody to read. And so the world is watching you. And you can either choose to sit on the sidelines and sit back and be one of the crowd, or you can choose to make a difference for the Lord. And this responsive reading, I'm not going to go through it verse by verse. And we know this verse, and there are many others like it in the scripture, but he's saying be different. Don't go along with the crowd. The world is darkness. You're light. So live and act as if you're light. And also make the most of every opportunity. The original said redeeming the time because the days are evil. Making the most of the time. Making the most of every opportunity. And of course, when the scripture says that, it means making the most of the time for the Lord, not just in the here and now temporal sense. So let's just go through these things real quick here. And this is just real quick. We will not make waves. And there are a lot of people that really don't want to make waves, you know? It's just easier not to. And we will not make waves, number one, by staying in the background. There's got to come a day when we're willing to kind of step forward. And we're not going to make waves that way. Number two, we're not going to make waves by blending with the crowd. And there are a lot of people, you know, we talk about peer pressure today. And especially among the teen crowd, but others too. It's like we just want to be accepted. We just want to be liked. We just want to be one of the group. We just want to belong. What if you belong to the wrong thing? And so we're not going to make waves just blending in with the crowd. We're not going to make waves, number three, going with the flow. And we all know that it's a lot easier if you're just floating downstream, headed toward the waterfall. You don't even have to have a paddle to do that. If you're going to go against the current, you're going to have to paddle, and you're going to have to exert some energy in order to go against the flow. And yes, it's true. People don't like it when you go against the flow. Number four, you will not make waves by being like everyone else. Oh, I want the same thing they got. I want the same shirt they've got. I want the same jacket, the same tennis shoes, whatever. I want the same this, whatever. I want to be like everybody else. And again, we want to be accepted. And so we want to be liked. And so we kind of take our Christian faith and beliefs and put it on the shelf for a while we're hanging out with our friends. Because what would they think if we really stood up, you know, or said something about the Lord? Number five, we won't make waves by taking the easy road. And yes, it's a lot easier to just go with the flow. It's a lot easier to just blend in. It's not easy, you know, to kind of counter things. But that's not what the Lord called us for. And when our soldiers sign up, Daquan has signed up, he's going to be in for some rigorous training. He's already told us that. But he knew what he was signing up for. And so when we sign up for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same way. It says in the scripture, endure hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. And so, yeah, he's called us because, and remember that old army recruitment thing, be all you can be? Well, guess what? You don't become all you can be by sitting around on the couch munching on potato chips and watching the latest reality show. We become all we can be by work and by effort and by straining and indeed by making waves. And I tell you what, the world, they don't mind making waves, do they? We've got PETA people parading out there stark naked just in order to make the point that people shouldn't kill animals or whatever. We've got gay rights people out there every day interrupting Congress, interrupting everything else in order to make their point while we are soft-pedaling the gospel. And it's a shame. We will not make waves by playing it safe. And it's true. You stick your neck out. What about those early believers? How many of them wound up with their heads cut off? How many of them wound up in prison? But they lived by the song that we heard this morning, and they hadn't even heard this particular song yet. I'm going to what? Live what I believe. All you have to do to make some waves is actually live what you really believe, if you really believe it. And that may be one of the things that as students you need to really figure out in the next year or two. Because it's really going to make a difference. You're going to find out when you get to college. You're going to find out if you really believe it or not. Believe me, you will. And number seven, we will not make waves by hiding our faith, which is what so many today choose to do. We've bought into this pluralism thing. Now, you know, their belief is just as good as mine. Well, if that's true, the Lord Jesus Christ came in vain. It was all a big waste of time. No, the Lord today is looking for people. He's always been looking for people. And he has always worked through people. When he wanted to save the world and preserve seed for a new start, he chose Noah. When he wanted to start a new nation from scratch in order to minister to the world and ultimately bring the Messiah, he chose Abraham. And on and on and on. When he wanted somebody that he knew wouldn't be afraid and be willing to travel all over the Roman Empire spreading the good news no matter what it cost, he chose Saul of Tarsus. Who will the next Saul of Tarsus be? Who will the next Daryl and Tyler Palmer be? Or if you want to move closer to home, the next Sam and Terry Bruce. Who will they be? The Lord is still looking for people. Number one, the Lord is looking for people who will counter the culture. And you know what I'm talking about. John said, the whole world lieth in the evil one. This whole culture that we live in is corrupt. And so the Lord is looking for some people that have enough backbone to counter it and say, that's not how I'm going to live. That's not what my values are. And I'm going to be true and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote for myself, and you can see it on the other notes, to counter the culture, I will take a stand for what is right and challenge the values and practices of the world around me. And the Lord is looking for people that will do that. And it's not easy, because today, the minute you begin to stand up for some Bible truth, you will immediately be labeled a hate speech person. You will be labeled a bigot. The minute. So you know that is coming. But the truth is still the truth. And God is still looking for men and women and young people who will counter the culture, not go with the flow, and who will live and let their lives be a testimony. Your very life, if you're really living for the Lord every day like you ought to be, even before you open your mouth, your very life is a rebuke to the world around you. And it should be. Does that mean that we are hateful? Does it mean that we go around poking our bony fingers in everybody's faces and preaching judgment? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that we don't give in, we don't conform, and we actually do live for the Lord and live what we believe. Number two, the Lord is looking for people who will live their faith. And those two go hand in hand, because it is impossible to truly live your faith without automatically countering the culture. And so to actually live it on a day-to-day basis. Number three, the Lord is looking for people who are willing to speak the truth. Oh, it is so much easier to just keep our mouths shut. I told somebody the other day, I think it was Mark Twain, he said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But I think way too often, you know, we just choose to be silent. And how many times have any of us, we knew in our heart that we should have said something. And later on, we go back and we're like, I should have said something, but we didn't. And it doesn't mean we go around preaching all the time. But truth is truth. And the Lord has put us where we are to lovingly, many times patiently, speak the truth into somebody's life. How many know that the truth can be spoken in love? That's what the scripture says, speaking the truth in love. We've got people that love and won't speak the truth, and we've got people that'll speak the truth in the most hurtful way that they know. That's not what the Lord is looking for. But speaking the truth in love, nonetheless, is what we are called to do, and the Lord is looking for people who will speak the truth. And number four, who are willing to be involved, who actually are willing to be involved. What do we mean by being involved? To become an advocate in some way. There are all kinds of opportunities out there for us just to be involved in our school or wherever. If there's a Bible club or something, join it. You know, whatever. This young lady that visited us, I think it was last year, Raisha Parham, now she's married and she's got a name this long. But she and her husband, you know, they work on campus and they're with a subdivision of Campus Crusade for Christ or whatever. But that's what they're doing. They're on the college campuses and they are there among the college crowd. Guess what they're doing? Making waves for the Lord. And number five, the Lord is looking for people who will stay the course. You know, some people start out strong and finish weak. And some people start off weak and finish strong. We've been doing the book of Genesis in our Wednesday night Bible studies this year. And of course, then there's... Jacob was a guy that started out weak but finished strong. Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, started strong and finished weak. But the Lord is looking for people that will start out strong and remain strong right to the finish line. And when you get down and you're in a race and you get down to those last 20 yards, that isn't the time to slack up. That is the time to push forward. This message had already been put together. The bulletin had already been printed. And Thursday evening, I was on the computer looking at news headlines. Some of you may have seen this already. And I thought, wow. This is from the Washington Times. It's now been on Fox, and it's been all over every kind of news organization there is. A week ago, yesterday, probably few people outside of Clemson, South Carolina had ever heard of Roy Costner IV. But when I checked last night the YouTube video of what he did, it had 140,980 hits. But let me read you the story, if I can. A South Carolina valedictorian garnered wild applause after he ripped up his pre-approved speech and delivered the Lord's Prayer at his high school graduation on Saturday. The act was apparently in protest of the Pickens County School District's decision to no longer include prayer at graduation ceremonies. Christian News reported, officials said the decision was made after the district was barraged with complaints by atheist groups. Now, isn't that a surprise? But that didn't stop Roy Costner IV of Liberty High School. He ripped up his graduation speech for all to see before he started talking about his Christian upbringing, Christian News reported. Those that we look up to, they have helped carve and mold us into the young adults that we are today, he said. I'm so glad that both my parents led me to the Lord at a young age. And I think most of you will understand when I say, he paused, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The auditorium began to erupt with applause and cheers. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, he continued. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Pickens County School spokesman John Eby, E-B-Y, said that no disciplinary action will be taken against Mr. Costner. The bottom line is, we're not going to punish students for expressing their religious faith, he told Christian News. He's a graduate now. There's nothing we can do about it, even if we wanted to. Attendee Lee Gibson told reporters that he thought, quote, it took a lot of courage, unquote, to do what Mr. Costner did, Christian News reported. As of noon Wednesday, a YouTube video of the exchange had received almost 45,000 views. What do you think? We need more. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you are God. It's sin that's messed up this world. It's rebellion that has messed up this world. It is sin and our separatedness from you that makes people act the way they're acting and doing the things that they're doing. But you have saved us. You have brought us into the kingdom of life. You have transformed us and you have made us your servants. And as we have read this morning in your word, we are now children of light. In fact, we are light. We are light in the Lord. And then it says walk, which means live daily. Live daily as children of light. So Lord, I pray today for your anointing on our young people. They need your anointing. They're going to need your anointing on their lives in a powerful way if they're going to be able to stand up all the evil around them, all the peer pressure around them, all the things in society around them, if they're going to be able to stand, Lord, they're going to need your anointing on their lives. But I ask for that right now. I ask for it today. And if they're going to be able to make the choices that they need to make, they're going to need your guidance in their lives every day. So, Lord, I pray for every one of our students, both those who have graduated and those who are still in school. And I just pray that you'll be with them, Lord, every day and make them strong. Make them strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make them strong, Lord. You talk about the strength of your might, the armor of God. Then you talk about your strength and your might. And Lord, that comes from you. And I pray that you will give our young people your strength and your might in order to do this battle, in order to stand up to the enemy, in order to be fearless and to live their beliefs and to live what you have deposited way down deep in their hearts. And Lord, we don't know from day to day who we're going to influence, what wave we're going to set in motion that will be an effect all the way to eternity. So Lord, today, equip your people. Strengthen your people. Equip your people for work and for service and for spreading your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. We have a closing hymn in a minute. Feel free to come and share anything on your heart. One last thought as I was thinking for the message during the week. You know, all that turbulence, I put that little verse there at the beginning of the sermon where the angry crowd at Thessalonica said, these men that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Well, you know how much turbulence Saul caused when he, Paul, when he went to these different cities and there were riots and there were tumult and all of that. How many can tell me the name of any of those people that were out there in that angry crowd that day? You see, the turbulence is very intense, but it is very short-lived. But what we do for Jesus goes on forever. So just remember that.